Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Well, we got a week of preseason games in the book, for whatever that is worth. We are less than a month away from the regular season beginning, and covering all of it for The Athletic will be our friend Mike Jones, a national NFL writer for The Athletic. I would urge everybody to subscribe. All of the writers are great, but just the football alone that you get from Ben on the local team, on, you know, from guys like Mike on the national scene, it's totally worth it. It costs you a couple of bucks a month, tops. At By Mike Jones on X on Twitter. So, I mean, we both know what the preseason is. We've talked about it many times with each other over summers like this one over the years. But did you have a big takeaway or two from the first weekend?
No, not really. I mean, I think the main thing that you take away, you kind of just want to see, okay, how are some of these young guys going to look? What are, you know, some of the new coaching staffs? How does their operations look? And again, like I said, It's the preseason. There's a lot of players who aren't going to play right now. But I thought the young quarterbacks, they looked comfortable in their offenses for the most part. Caleb Williams looked like you would hope the number one pick would look. Jaden Daniels, you know, made some plays that you would hope that, you know, he would make. And, you know, it's all part of the process. But you just look for kind of some signs of positivity, signs that guys know where to go with the ball, that they're not hesitating. And then see what other young guys happen to flash here and there, maybe what some new free agents look like if they're on the field for their teams. So it gets harder to take things away from the preseason now that, you know, you'd always look forward to that third week of the preseason when guys would play, you know, a whole half or three quarters and you really would get a feel. But we don't have that now, so we just kind of look for some bright spots here and there and then just can't wait for the regular season to start.
Yeah, I mean, we used to have that third week, which we would refer to as the true dress rehearsal for the regular season. You know, I think I mentioned this on the show yesterday. I'm actually surprised, given the calendar, you know, when they went to three preseason games, the length of time between that third preseason game and the season opener grew. You know, it went from 9 or 10 days to 14 to 17 days, depending on when you play that last preseason game. I'm actually surprised that third and final preseason game hasn't emerged as the true, if they're going to do it, dress rehearsal game. It hasn't. This weekend has become that, which you are still 3 weeks plus away from the regular season.
Yeah, and you still have a lot of guys who aren't going to play in this week, even though, you know, it's kind of the big week. But, you know, again, with the joint practices, coaches feel like they can get their guys in a controlled environment and a competitive environment and see what they need to see from them. I know that different coaches have different philosophies, like D'Amico Ryans in Houston. He believes that players need reps, and they need reps to be able to see what their guys can do. And so everybody handles it a little bit differently. I wish that they would play at least, you know, at least a half this week, so that way we could see and not guess so much. But again, nobody's really running really creative stuff. It's all vanilla, but still, you're seeing, you know, one-on-one action, guys who can win matchups, which teams, which offensive lines seem to be in sync, which quarterbacks and receivers are making plays. So there's still stuff you can take from it. So I see the benefit of it, and I wish that coaches saw the benefit of it still, but I know you want to keep your guys healthy. It's a long season.
They've turned this time of year into a legitimate, you know, joke. It's a painful watch for an NFL fan. There's no doubt about it. But I think we'll be down to two of these in a couple of years anyway when they go to an 18-game schedule. We're talking to Mike Jones. You did mention the quarterbacks, and that was where most of the buzz was coming out of the first weekend. And I wanted to ask you, you know, about one quarterback in particular. I think we all know that Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are going to be starters on opening day. After that, you know that Penix Jr. isn't going to be. Drake May isn't going to be. And J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold kind of, you know, I'm assuming Darnold's going to be the starter in Minnesota to start. But the interesting one to me is not only Bo Nix and Jarrett Stidham in Denver, but it's what Sean Payton did with Bo Nix in the preseason opener. They didn't throw the ball downfield a lot, but he had 21 pass attempts in a preseason game, completed 15 of them, a lot of horizontal football. Do you think Bo Nix will be the starter for Denver on opening day?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think it looks like Sean Payton was like, let's throw as much at him as we can and see how we can handle it. Obviously, like you said, no shots downfield, but this is the timing type of offense that Sean Payton wants to run, where you're getting the ball out of hand and you're getting it in the playmaker's hands quickly. And so if he can handle this, I mean, you know what you have in Jarrett Stidham, right? I mean,
every coaching staff has loved him, you know, starting with, I mean, Belichick loved him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a reliable guy. He's going to go in there and he can run your offense, or he can run the scout team really well. He's not going to lose games for you, but there's not a lot of special there. He's solid. Right. So, I mean, if Bo Nix is not ready, as we saw last year, Sean Payton would rather go with Jarrett Stidham than somebody who's going to hurt them and that you can't trust. He can trust Stidham, but if Bo Nix can roll with it, I think that Sean Payton would like to have that. So I wouldn't be surprised if he winds up starting for them. If he has another game like he did just there, then that answers a lot of questions for them. Although defensive coordinators aren't cooking up schemes to stop him in the preseason, so it'll change a little bit.
Yeah,
but
of course.
I feel like they're just throwing as much as they can at him right now, see how he handles processing, quick decision-making, what his rhythm and timing is like, and then they'll decide as they get closer to the season.
Yeah, I always, you know, and I harp on this every single summer. There's very little that you can really sort of expect to be automatically translating into the regular season in terms of what we're watching now. But one of the interesting things about the Denver-Indianapolis preseason game on Sunday is clearly Sean Payton wanted to get his offense into rhythm. They had 410 yards of offense in 32 first downs. Like, he didn't hold back, and with his young quarterback, he left him out there to throw 21 balls in the first preseason game. So he approached it a little bit differently. In that division, is Kansas City better on paper this year than they were last year?
Well, I feel like they could be. They've gotten draft picks that have been paying off. They lost some veterans that they let some veterans go. They've got young guys they've plugged in. I think their depth is better than what it has been. They've been working, you know, obviously, when you have a quarterback like Mahomes, you can have some serviceable guys that you throw to. But they've had rookies that have been, their draft picks are paying off. And so I do think that they're young playmakers outside of Kelce. They have young guys that understand their role and how they fit into that offense really well. And, you know, I think that they can be better there. I think their defense has gotten better. They've had young guys that have stepped up. And so, yeah, I don't see why they should not be right there at the end of the season as one of the contenders for the Super Bowl. I think they have a really good shot right now. The repeating is very hard, but they just keep on. You know, I was talking to a GM, another AFC GM, about them, and he said, look, I don't know. You know, it'll be curious to see what happens when Andy Reid is gone, just because he's just got such a great operation there. He does a really good job of developing talent and identifying it as well. Yes, Brett Veach is their GM, and he, you know, is the guy who goes out and gets the groceries. But Andy Reid just does such a masterful job, him and his assistants, of positioning these guys for success. And so I think they're going to be a scary team once again.
We'll talk to Mike about Washington here in a moment. Yeah, I mean, Mahomes felt like he had a bad season. That should be a forewarning for everybody heading into this year. He's back-to-back Super Bowl champion, and he felt like, you know, he needs a bounce-back year in 2024. Pretty scary. Let's flip it over to the NFC. What's going on in Dallas with Jerry Jones and CeeDee Lamb?
Man, I don't know what Jerry's trying to accomplish, because all he's doing is, to me, he's costing himself money, but he's also damaging relationships. And look, you guys have a situation down there, Jerry, where you've got a head coach who's in a lame duck year. You've got your quarterback you haven't taken care of. You got his top offensive weapon, and you're making these comments that are going to, you know, damage trust. Make, you know, he's not going to want to like come to the negotiation table and cut a hometown deal if he's being, you know, treated like this. And so the longer he waits, the more expensive these deals become, whether it's Dak or whether it's CeeDee Lamb or Micah Parsons. And, you know, Jerry keeps talking about he wants a Super Bowl, and yes, he's not getting any younger, but it almost feels like he's losing his touch. I don't know. I almost wonder if they're going to be able to overcome this type of, I don't know, dysfunction that seems that it's starting to brew as they, because they had a chance to be right up there with the Eagles and contending for that division. But if you don't have CeeDee Lamb, and if Dak, you know, doesn't have time to work with him, and he's got his contract situation, and Mike McCarthy, you know, doesn't have any future contract, you know, it's just not a good recipe if you're trying to be a stable franchise. It's really in contention, right?
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday who's a huge Cowboys fan, and, you know, he's like, the most important thing is that, Dak comes back, and he goes, of course he will, because being the Cowboys quarterback is so important. And I just thought to myself, you know, Dak Prescott may actually want to play for a contender, like a legitimate Super Bowl contender. You could make the case that's not Dallas as long as Jerry Jones owns the team. I mean, we know what this place was like for a quarter century. Dallas is much better. I'm not suggesting the two are equivalent, but they don't win in the postseason. They are a dysfunctional organization to a certain level. What are the chances that Dak says, I don't want to come back here. I want to go somewhere where I can win the whole thing.
No, I wouldn't be surprised, because look, it's not like Jerry has taken care of him willingly. You know, they had the franchise tag, and he's here again. He finally did get that multi-year deal, but here he is, time to pay him again. And it's like Jerry's dragging his feet. If he has a team that has a really strong supporting cast that has got arms open wide, begging him to come, I wouldn't be surprised if he'd go there. I mean, it's like he's been
somebody
here.
Will want him always, desperately next year, don't you think?
Yeah, he's always the scapegoat. If he could go somewhere where they're like, hey, you are our difference maker, instead of the reason why, you know, all the criticisms on why they don't win, I would not be surprised at all if he went somewhere else.
You know, they're kind of in that mode that we were in maybe in 2008, 2002, you know, 2010, living in this bubble where they don't see what the rest of the world sees, which is,
right. Yeah,
but you don't win anything when it matters. And you've got an owner that's way too meddling and too involved. And you screw up a lot of these contract situations. Look, they've done better with personnel, and they've won a hell of a lot more games in the regular season. But I think that situation is going to be interesting. So let's bring it to here. What are you thinking right now about Washington in 2024? What are you hearing about what others think Washington could be in 2024?
I mean, it's going to be an interesting year. I don't think that anybody is projecting that they're – I haven't heard anybody – projecting that they're going to be like the Houston Texans this year.
I think it's 10-7 and a wild card berth. Most optimistic, you know me. Most optimistic I've been since Kirk was here.
I mean, I get it. It feels like finally there are adults that are running the operation. You have like a promising young quarterback, but there's still some holes there. There's still some deficiencies.
Yeah.
Just when I talk to people around the league, they feel like they've had a good off season, that they're putting the pieces in place. But I just, like I said, nobody has said, I think that they could be one of those teams that goes from last to first or contending in their division. Now, look, if things fall into place, you never know. Nobody expected that the Texans were going to do that. But their pass rushing, you know, is still a question mark, and, you know, offensive line, and, you know, we'll see what they cook up. You know, we looked like Jaden Daniels looked like he was comfortable in that system. He's, you know, making changes at the line, and he feels like he trusts and has a good connection with his weapons. That's great. But what's going to happen? Can you stop the opponents? You know, we'll see. They're going to play hard. I asked somebody, I said, well, what can we expect from them? They said, look, he's a Dan Quinn team. So they're going to play hard. He's going to get maximum effort out of them. They might even overachieve in some regards, but they might be another year away from being, you know, a serious team that can challenge in their division.
Well, then give me the team in the NFC right now that you've got your eyes on as the team, because we know there will be at least one, if not two, that are going to outkick the preseason expectations and end up with a playoff berth.
Well, I mean, as far as a playoff berth, I don't know, but the team that I think that we're not talking enough about is probably the Green Bay Packers. You know, we're looking at the division and, you know, the Detroit, they were so close to getting there to the Super Bowl. They lost narrowly to the 49ers. But the Packers, man, like, they came off on a really hot stretch. They upset the Cowboys. They lost, I think it was by, you know, 3 points to the 49ers in the playoffs. They're a team that could really cause some trouble for a lot of teams out there. Jordan Love, more comfortable. They improved their run game. They've improved their offensive line. They got a new defensive coordinator. You know, so I think that they're going to be a team that's going to be tough. You know, people have asked me about the Chicago Bears, but it's going to be tough for the Bears because they have not only the Lions, but they have the Packers in that division as well. You know, I think that Tampa is going to be there again to win their division, but I think that Atlanta could make things interesting there. They have a new energy. They've got, you know, pieces on offense. They've got a defense. Their whole, as a whole, that team played hard. They just had some deficiencies there, and I think they have more creative offensive mind now than what they had. So those are two teams in the NFC. I think that Atlanta will make things interesting, and I think the Packers might wind up leapfrogging Detroit and really giving some teams a tough run.
Same question, AFC.
I'm looking at Pittsburgh. I know we don't know exactly what Russell Wilson's going to look like because he hasn't been on the field yet. You know, in games, he started practicing last week because of that calf strain. But the offense that they're putting around him, whether it's him or whether it's Justin Fields, isn't asking them to do too much. It's more like the role that Russell Wilson played in Seattle, where it's what he does well with play-action passes and shots downfield, not the Sean Payton, you know, West Coast offense timing type of attack. So they have a strong defense. They have a good offensive line. They've got a good run game. So I think that they could be a team. Now, again, they're in a really tough division with Baltimore and Cincinnati, because both of those teams are going to be, you know, jockeying for position among the elite of the AFC. But I think the Steelers could be a team that, you know, I don't know how long Russell Wilson's going to last as a starter. He might be okay for a while. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Justin Fields, but just because Arthur Smith is not going to put too much on them, you know, and Justin Fields looked comfortable up there in Pittsburgh early in training camp, and then last week for their preseason game, I think it was like 5 for 6, and the one incompletion he had, the guy got shoved out of bounds. So he had the bobble in the ball. So he looks comfortable in this offense, and he said that he feels like Arthur Smith is playing things to his strengths. I don't think he's going to start, but he might wind up taking over. So they're going to be really interesting, one of those teams that I'm watching for sure in the AFC.
Great job. Appreciate it as always. We'll talk again soon. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Mike Jones, everybody. Tyler Owens, one of the surprises of camp so far, will be our guest next.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Another busy week. Joint practice down in South Florida with Miami, and then the preseason game with the Dolphins on Saturday night. The preseason opener at the Meadowlands on Sunday was a good one for one of the real good stories of camp so far, and that is the story of Tyler Owens, a 6'2", 215-pound safety slash special teamer out of Texas Tech, who had a couple of tackles, including a big one on special teams Saturday. Tyler, nice enough to give us some time here on the show. He joins us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. First of all, you had more snaps. I'm sure you know this. You played more defensive snaps than anybody on the team Saturday, so they clearly want to continue to get a really good look at you. Tell me about what you thought of your first NFL preseason game.
I thought I did pretty good. I still have some things to improve on, but, I mean, for the most part, I think I gave a good effort.
Do you have a sense, Tyler, that there is, you know, a coach or a group of coaches that really have your back or rooting for you and really feel good about the way you've performed since camp started?
Yeah, I definitely do. I feel like the coaches are starting to get a little bit more confidence in me. I think they're, you know what I'm saying, they're pushing me in the right direction.
Let's go back to, you know, coming out of Texas Tech. Tyler played his first few years at Texas in Austin and then ended up in Lubbock playing for Texas Tech the last 2 years. Had an incredible athletic profile coming into the NFL draft. Had a 41-inch vertical. So you've got some real hops. I would imagine you can dunk a basketball every which way.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, are you a basketball player?
No, I don't really hoop, but, like, I still give people buckets.
Now, the other thing I read about you is that you had one of the all-time broad jumps, I guess, at the combine. You were with an inch of the world record in the broad jump. Tell me about that.
I always knew, like, I was explosive, but when I started, like, training and starting to learn techniques and stuff, like, it kind of got, like, to where, like, damn, I realized I could probably go for the record. I should have ran the fastest 40, but, you know.
What was your 40 time again?
I got, like, some stuff. I don't really want to say the numbers right now, but I would have been the 40 king.
You would have been what? I'm sorry?
I would have been the 40 king at the combine.
Okay. Your broad jump, by the way, was 12'2", but I'm assuming that you ran sub 4'4", right?
Yeah, sub 4'3".
Sub 4'3".
Yeah.
Washington, as everybody remembers, during the draft, had a real emphasis on that RAS score, that raw athletic score, and were really looking for athletic guys. All right, so Tyler Owens is joining us, number 40 on Saturday and this coming Saturday, and has really shined in camp and then really stood out in that preseason game. So for those that are just starting to pay attention to this year's team, tell everybody what you feel you do best.
I feel like I run best. Like, that's my best asset, I think, that I bring to the team. I think it allows me to play different positions along with my size. You know, I match up pretty good against tight ends, so I think that gives me another advantage.
Yeah. What about the things that, you know, would put you on the field, give you a roster spot? Is your path to making this roster special teams?
Yeah, most definitely.
So what part of special teams do you enjoy the most? Did you play a lot of special teams at Texas Tech?
Yeah, I was a big gunner and kickoff guy. When I think gunner is my best special teams. I like to just, like, slide there, you know, basically freestyling. But also I like the kickoff. With the new rule, though, it kind of switched things up.
Tell me what you like about the new kickoff rule.
I mean, I guess it protects the players, but, you know, it takes a lot of the smash mouth football part of it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it looks, you know, by the time the runner gets possession of the ball, it almost is more of a line of scrimmage play than it is kind of a special teams play. And I would imagine
Exactly. You'll
be on the field for those. Do you see yourself as a potential gunner on the punt coverage team?
Yeah, most definitely. I think I would hold my own, you know what I'm saying, when I'm out there. So I think I'd definitely be an asset to the team on punt.
Tyler Owens is joining us. He's been a revelation here during training camp. He was one of the undrafted free agents that got some money to come here. And I was curious as to how many teams, you know, were interested in you when the draft ended and you had not been picked. How many choices did you have?
I had a few choices. You know, my agents helped me make the decision, so.
Yeah, why Washington when you had choices?
I feel like Dan Quinn has like a really good staff, so like I just feel like if anybody can, you know what I'm saying, make me into the player I need to be, like it would be the staff that work with big DBs in Dallas, so like I feel like I would have fit in here.
Give me the guy right now defensively that is emerging as, you know, kind of a leader and maybe even a mentor for you and some of the other young players.
I would say I get mentor from a lot, like almost all the players, even like players in my class. I feel like I can learn from everybody. But like as far as like getting the group together, I think like 10 has been taking a big role in trying to do that. As an older guy, so
yeah, you're listing the jersey number 10. You said 10, right?
Oh, 10. I said 10. Jeremy Chin.
Jeremy Chin. My fault. Jeremy Chin taking that for the secondary guys. That makes a lot of sense for sure. Give me a player that has really stood out from just a production standpoint for you. Who's been really impressive on either side of the ball?
I feel like a lot of guys have been impressive. I think Emmanuel Forbes has been impressive in practice. He's been competing with everybody. So also like Deami Brown. I feel like Jaden Daniels, he's been pretty impressive too. So, I mean, there's a lot of guys that's been impressing me recently.
What stood out to you about Jaden so far?
I don't know. I was like, I guess just his accuracy and it's like, I guess his speed. This dude is quick. Like, and I don't call a lot of people quick, but I think he's pretty quick. And then his deep ball is just like, I don't know. It's different.
Was Texas the team you always wanted to play for growing up in Plano?
No, I didn't really follow Texas crazy until when I got into high school and I really started, like, because I was more of, like, an Aggie fan, I would say, when I grew up. But I didn't have no loyalty to nobody, for real, coming out of high school. So,
Did you play for Sark or were you on the Tom Herman team?
I was on both of the teams.
Okay.
So, like, yeah.
Tyler, thanks. Really appreciate the time. Good job so far. We wish you the best of luck moving forward. Have a great game Saturday night.
I appreciate you.
Tyler Owens, everybody, been a real performer in camp and a guy that I think a lot of people believe will make the final roster and be a big part of special teams. Ridiculously athletic coming out of Texas Tech. There was an expectation that he would get picked in the latter rounds. Didn't. Washington gave him, you know, a sizable guarantee. I think he was one of three players that they gave money to in terms of some guaranteed money to show up and be a part of the undrafted class. And he looks like a guy, at least from that Jet game on special teams. He played 34 snaps defensively and another 6 on Saturday on teams. And he's been a guy that Quinn and others have highlighted. So number 40's got a really good chance to make this team as a safety and a big-time special teams guy. That's the reason they brought him in. All right, we'll get to some Denton news when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980 and theteam980.com. Window Nation is offering a really good price right now on windows, a really good sale opportunity. They want you to be able to take advantage of the very efficient windows that they would put into your home, which would save you big on air conditioning bills in the summer, heating bills in the winter. They have over 33,000 five-star reviews on Google. That's amazing for any retail company. One reason is they're all about value. And this August, they're giving you a great value during the Window Nation anniversary sale. Right now, that means for every two windows you purchase, you get two free. You get the next two free. There's no limit on that. So if you need 10 windows, you're only going to pay for five of them. Beyond that, you don't have to put any money down, you don't have to make any payments, and you won't get charged interest for two full years. And if you act now and you mention my name as to where you heard it, you'll get an extra $250 in a credit as well. Window Nation values your satisfaction in their quality, service, and affordability. They stand behind their windows with a lifetime warranty. Think about that. There's no risk in getting an estimate if you call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. They'll come out and give you a free estimate. They're in and out quickly. Then you do the deal with Window Nation, and you don't have to pay anything for 2 years, and you don't get charged interest. And then you've got a lifetime warranty on the windows. They've taken any sort of risk in the purchase of moving forward with them out of the equation. Window Nation was ranked tops on the Forbes list of best window installation companies. You can trust Window Nation. I was a customer. Many listeners and friends and family members have been customers. It always works out. Stop paying more than you have to. Hurry. The sale ends August 31st. Schedule a fast in-home estimate for free right now at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Let's get to Denton's news.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton.
All righty. So we, our team just had a practice with the Jets last week. Obviously, they played the Jets in the preseason opener. The Jets are back in the news nationally and nothing for what they did against the Commanders. So it's instead because Hassan Reddick wants out. He was traded from the Eagles to the Jets in April. He thought he was going to get a contract. They have not given him a contract, and now he has requested a trade from the Jets. He's been fined $1.7 million after missing 21 days of training camp and losing out on bonus money that was as part of him coming to offseason events. I don't believe he went to any OTAs either. There have been photos of him in Japan this offseason, which does look like a lovely time, but not where the Jets want him to be, and now he wants out. He publicly requested a trade. The Jets, about 5 minutes later, had a response on social media saying, we're not going to trade him.
What did they give the Eagles? What was the trade compensation?
It was draft picks, I believe. I don't remember if they were high draft picks.
Right.
Like, I don't believe that they gave a first-round pick away.
There it is. They gave up a third-round pick for him.
If you remember, he was huge 2 years ago on the Eagles Super Bowl run on defense.
No doubt. You know, this dude can play. He obviously wants a bigger deal. He's got a year left on his deal. Man, he'd be a part of one awesome defense. You know, I thought when they added him, it's like, Jesus, the rich get richer because of what they have defensively already with Quinnen Williams and Kinlaw and, you know, Quincy Williams and Sauce Gardner and, you know, DJ Reed, et cetera. I mean, they're just loaded, you know, across the board. I don't know. Can they recoup what they gave up to get him a third at this point? You got to pay him, right? He wants to get paid.
Yeah, you'd have to pay him. I don't know what the logistics are when it comes to trading for a guy and then immediately trading him four months later before the season starts.
There's an acceleration of whatever the expected salary cap, you know, hit would have been this year. I think you spread that over 2 years. I'm not exactly how he's only got 1 year left on his deal. He's got a year left on his deal that pays him $14,000, but it's a cap number of around $20 million. It looks like. Jets having, you know, an interesting camp right now. I mean, Rodgers hasn't taken the field yet. I don't know if he will. And there's a lot expected. You know, that's the Monday night opener. Jets at 49ers. Remember, last year was the Monday night opener with the Jets hosting the Bills. Four plays into that game, Aaron Rodgers tears the Achilles and is done for the year. But that's the opening Monday night game of the year, Jets at Niners. Hassan Reddick is a good pass rusher. What are his sack totals here in recent years? I'm pulling them up because he had, was it, you said it was 2 years ago he had the big year in Philly. I thought he had a good year last year too, didn't he?
He had a good year last year, but I think 2 years ago he had like 15. Yeah, he had 16 sacks 2 years
16
ago.
16 sacks 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's had double digits for the last 4 years.
Yeah, 12 and a half, 11, 16, and 11 in his 2 years in Philly. 27 sacks 2 years in Philadelphia.
And 3.5 in that postseason in three games.
By the way, add to that, in the 2022 season, which was the Eagles' Super Bowl NFC Championship season, where they went to the Super Bowl, 16 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, along with a fumble return for a touchdown during the course of that season. I mean, their pass rush was awesome that year. All right, let's see what happens there, you know. I'm sure he wants to get paid. He'd rather play and get paid than sit out. Sitting out hasn't helped anybody in recent years, other than, I guess, Jonathan Taylor, right? That's been the most recent example of a true holdout benefiting from the holdout in terms of the contract he got in Indianapolis. All right, what else?
All right, elsewhere, Kevin Durant, he really won in Paris. He wins a gold medal, and before he comes home, he became an investor in Paris Saint-Germain. I think I said that right. I'm not a soccer guy. Sorry.
The soccer team, yeah.
Yeah, the PSG soccer team. It's one of France's most successful clubs. The goal with bringing Durant in as a minority owner is to help the PSG brand in America, but it adds to a really impressive portfolio that Kevin Durant has built. He has his own company with the boardroom. He's now an investor in PSG. If you remember, there was conversations about him potentially being one of the minority owners of the team here when Josh Harris bought it. So he's done really well for himself outside of the world of the NBA.
Do we know what he put in to become an equity holder, a shareholder in PSG?
I do not know for sure. I was trying to look to find the number. I would imagine it's over $10 million. Because just if you think soccer, these things are incredibly...
I don't know what PSG is worth. I know a lot of these soccer teams are worth, you know, billions of dollars. You know, one of the reasons it's hard to be a part of the Josh Harris bid is basically, you know, the entry-level price was like $50 million or $100 million, you know, on a $6 billion price tag. That's not, you know, that's not the territory in which Kevin Durant plays, even though he's made a lot of money. That kind of investment are for people who are worth hundreds of millions of dollars up to, you know, a billion plus. Yeah, I'm curious as to whether or not that was something where he just is, I don't know, part of the board of directors or part of a board of advisors, or if he actually invested or was part of a group that invested into PSG.
So they already had a group investment that I believe he is joining. They are worth right now, this according to Forbes, in December of 2023, so a couple months ago, they were worth $4.3
billion. $4.3 billion was the worth. And so what stake were they selling? Do you know?
I do not know, but this is from the boardroom. It says that Kevin Durant has invested in PSG through his Boardroom Sports Holdings LLC via Arctos Partners, the strategic minority investor in the club. So he's joining as a part of that. It says further details announced shortly. This was tweeted yesterday. So maybe the next couple of days we get an idea as to how much he invested.
Here it is. I have it. Arctos Partners, who you just mentioned, 12.5% stake at a $4.3 billion valuation. So you're talking, you know, about $480 to $500 million in an investment that Kevin Durant's a part of. Yeah. So, okay. By the way, you know, even if it's a small part, you certainly create the press release out of Kevin Durant becoming, you know, an LP, a limited partner in that. Let's see what he does to sort of promote PSG in America. I don't know what kind of following they have here. Have no idea.
I think the soccer community definitely knows about them, but eventually they need to. Kevin Durant, I'm sure, I don't think he's there yet, but I'm sure he will eventually in the next year or two join the billionaire club in the NBA. There's not a lot of them, but I think he is on track to become the next one of those.
He's already a minority investor. Did you say this already? Did you give the teams? He's already a minority investor in the MLS clubs in Philadelphia. And the NWSL, I don't know what that is.
That's the women's soccer team.
Oh, the women's soccer team. Yeah. I'm sorry, in New York. And he holds a stake in a major pickleball club, the Brooklyn Aces. So good for him. Man, you know, when you are high-profile celebrity with lots of money, you get a lot of these opportunities that come your way. And the interesting thing about it is that, you know, the amount that you have to put in is not as important to the actual group as the notoriety they get for having Kevin Durant be an investor and be a part owner in the group. He's done a lot, you know, from a philanthropy standpoint, hasn't he? I think Durant has. I want to look into that more because I think he's done a lot for even, you know, this area, PG County, D.C.
Yeah, he definitely has. I think he helps with one of the AAU teams invested into the AAU teams around here.
He had his name on one of the AAU teams in town. Yeah, it was the Durant AAU team. It's I'm blanking on the name of the team.
There's a lot of non-sports companies that he's invested to as well. He also is a part of Overtime, the basketball league. He's a part of that, but there's a lot of non-sports stuff that he does too.
Okay. All right. What else?
Oh, well, speaking of Kevin Durant, Topps is taking a one-of-one trading card. So for those that collect cards, it's autographed by LeBron, Steph, and Durant. This is post-gold medal. And they're sending it to a random customer. So what they're doing is they're releasing this card of LeBron, Steph, and KD, and you have the opportunity to buy it. The window opened at 6:20 on Saturday, 6:20 p.m. Eastern time, and it closes on 6:20 p.m. Eastern time today. So it's about a four-day window to buy this card, but one of the cards is going to be a one-of-one that is signed by all three of those players.
Like, it's like a Willy Wonka golden ticket.
It's effectively a golden ticket situation.
What would it be worth?
Oh, God. I don't know what the trading card market is like, but I got to think at least close to
how many
to
of these will
figures?
They sell because you're hoping to get that one that's autographed by all three?
I bet a lot. I bet a ton.
I'm just curious as to what that card would be worth if you owned it. I mean, look, this Olympic win by the U.S., I mean, I'm not a historian when it comes to Olympic basketball. I mean, I know enough about it. I think the most infamous game ever played was the 72 Munich loss to the Soviet Union, to Russia, when they were absolutely robbed of a gold medal and they wouldn't even accept the silver medal. But this may be the most memorable gold medal game and gold medal run. And, you know, certainly in terms of the performance by Steph Curry in the final, one of the most memorable games. So, yeah. I have no interest in the whole card thing, but I have interest in what they end up being worth. What else do you have?
All right, final thing for you here. This is hilarious. Will Levis and Hellman's Mayonnaise are teaming up to release a new perfume. It's the Will Levis parfum.
Will Levis, the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans you're talking about?
Yes, who famously loves mayonnaise. He puts it in his coffee. He is everything mayonnaise. He has a bunch of weird food things. He eats bananas with a peel on. Maybe there's nutrients in there. I don't know how that works. But he's releasing...
Puts mayonnaise in his coffee?
He does.
Okay.
He's partnering up with Hellman's Mayonnaise to release a perfume, Parfum de Mayonnaise. It released today, and according to a source that I was in contact with, they've already sold out. It's like $8, because that's the number he wears.
It's a perfume that smells like, or cologne that smells like mayonnaise?
Well, so it doesn't smell like mayonnaise. The guy that I was talking to that was given a bottle of this perfume or cologne, whichever you want to refer to. It's basically the same thing. He said it does not smell like mayonnaise. It smells like just like a regular cologne, but it's the press release or the press and Will Levis teaming up with mayonnaise that's garnering the attention to then lead you to the cologne.
And it's being done with Hellman's.
It's being done with Hellman's. They released a, you know, because if you look at like cologne commercials, you know the vibe. In cologne commercials, they don't make any sense. They released one of those. It's all over social media. You know, I tweeted it out.
Hellman's, and I knew this from all of my years in kind of the business that dealt with supermarket chains and consumer goods companies for many years. Hellman's is the brand here on the East Coast, but the same mayonnaise, which I think Unilever owns Hellman's, it might be Kraft. No, it's not Kraft, because Kraft has the other mayonnaise.
Kraft has Duke's, right?
But in out west, Hellman's mayonnaise is called Best Foods mayonnaise. That's a little fun fact to know and tell. I don't think there's any difference. I think it's the exact same product. It's just branded differently for some reason, and I can't tell you what the reasons are. I don't think I can. Because there is the Kraft, you know, Miracle Whip, which tastes totally different than Hellman's. I'm not a big mayonnaise guy other than in things like egg salad, chicken salad, tuna salad. I think that's pretty much the extent. No, I'll put a little bit of mayonnaise on a turkey sandwich. Definitely.
I
like mayonnaise.
That. I'm not a mayonnaise fan at all. It has to be hidden for me to enjoy it.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you eat egg salad? Do you eat egg salad?
No.
Or tuna salad?
Nope.
Really?
And I'll do a chicken salad if it's like heavily vinegar-based, but with mayonnaise, nah, I'm good. I'll do aiolis on certain sandwiches, but again, it has to be like hidden. I'm weird like that.
You're strange, that's for sure. Dan Quinn spoke today. Cliff Kingsbury spoke on a podcast. You're going to hear some of that coming up next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Window Nation is offering a really good price right now on windows, a really good sale opportunity. They want you to be able to take advantage of the very efficient windows that they would put into your home, which would save you big on air conditioning bills in the summer, heating bills in the winter. They have over 33,000 five-star reviews on Google. That's amazing for any retail company. One reason is they're all about value. In this August, they're giving you a great value during the Window Nation anniversary sale. Right now, that means for every two windows you purchase, you get two free. You get the next two free. There's no limit on that. So if you need 10 windows, you're only going to pay for five of them. Beyond that, you don't have to put any money down, you don't have to make any payments, and you won't get charged interest for two full years. And if you act now and you mention my name as to where you heard it, you'll get an extra $250 in a credit as well. Window Nation values your satisfaction in their quality, service, and affordability. They stand behind their windows with a lifetime warranty. Think about that. There's no risk in getting an estimate if you call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. They'll come out and give you a free estimate. They're in and out quickly. Then you do the deal with Window Nation, and you don't have to pay anything for 2 years, and you don't get charged interest. And then you've got a lifetime warranty on the windows. They've taken any sort of risk in the purchase of moving forward with them out of the equation. Window Nation was ranked tops on the Forbes list of best window installation companies. You can trust Window Nation. I was a customer. Many listeners and friends and family members have been customers. It always works out. Stop paying more than you have to. Hurry. The sale ends August 31st. Schedule a fast in-home estimate for free right now at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Let's get to Denton's news.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton.
All righty. So our team just had a practice with the Jets last week. Obviously, they played the Jets in the preseason opener. The Jets are back in the news nationally and nothing for what they did against the Commanders. So it's instead because Hassan Reddick wants out. He was traded from the Eagles to the Jets in April. He thought he was going to get a contract. They have not given him a contract. And now he has requested a trade from the Jets. He's been fined $1.7 million after missing 21 days of training camp and losing out on bonus money that was as part of him coming to offseason events. I don't believe he went to any OTAs either. There have been photos of him in Japan this offseason, which does look like a lovely time, but not where the Jets want him to be. And now he wants out. He publicly requested a trade. The Jets, about 5 minutes later, had a response on social media saying, we're not going to trade him.
What did they give the Eagles? What was the trade compensation?
It was draft picks, I believe. I don't remember if they were high draft picks.
Right.
Like, I don't believe that they gave a first-round pick away.
There it is. They gave up a third-round pick for him.
If you remember, he was huge 2 years ago on the Eagles Super Bowl run on defense.
No doubt. This dude can play. He obviously wants a bigger deal. He's got a year left on his deal. He'd be a part of one awesome defense. You know, I thought when they added him, it's like, Jesus, the rich get richer because of what they have defensively already with Quinnen Williams and Kinlaw and, you know, Quincy Williams and Sauce Gardner and, you know, DJ Reed, et cetera. I mean, they're just loaded, you know, across the board. I don't know. Can they recoup what they gave up to get him a third at this point? You got to pay him, right? He wants to get paid.
Yeah, you'd have to pay him. I don't know what the logistics are when it comes to trading for a guy and then immediately trading him four months later before the season starts.
There's an acceleration of whatever the expected salary cap, you know, hit would have been this year. I think you spread that over 2 years. I'm not exactly how he's only got 1 year left on his deal. He's got a year left on his deal that pays him $14,000, but it's a cap number of around $20 million, it looks like. Jets having, you know, an interesting camp right now. I mean, Rodgers hasn't taken the field yet. I don't know if he will. And there's a lot expected. You know, that's the Monday night opener. Jets at 49ers. Remember, last year was the Monday night opener with the Jets hosting the Bills. Four plays into that game, Aaron Rodgers tears the Achilles and is done for the year. But that's the opening Monday night game of the year, Jets at Niners. Hassan Reddick is a good pass rusher. What are his sack totals here in recent years? I'm pulling him up because you said it was 2 years ago he had the big year in Philly. I thought he had a good year last year too, didn't he?
He had a good year last year, but I think 2 years ago he had like 15. Yeah, he had 16 sacks 2 years
16
ago.
16 sacks 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's had double digits for the last 4 years.
Yeah, 12 and a half, 11. 16 and 11 in his 2 years in Philly. 27 sacks 2 years in Philadelphia.
And 3.5 in that postseason in 3 games.
By the way, add to that, in the 2022 season, which was the Eagles' Super Bowl NFC Championship season, where they went to the Super Bowl, 16 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, along with a fumble return for a touchdown during the course of that season. I mean, their pass rush was awesome that year. All right, let's see what happens there. You know, I'm sure he wants to get paid. He'd rather play and get paid than sit out. Sitting out hasn't helped anybody in recent years, other than, I guess, Jonathan Taylor, right? That's been the most recent example of a true holdout benefiting from the holdout in terms of the contract he got in Indianapolis. All right, what else?
Elsewhere, Kevin Durant, he really won in Paris. He wins a gold medal, and before he comes home, he became an investor in Paris Saint-Germain. I think I said that right. I'm not a soccer guy. Sorry.
The soccer team, yeah.
Yeah, the PSG soccer team. It's one of France's most successful clubs. The goal with bringing Durant in as a minority owner is to help the PSG brand in America, but it adds to a really impressive portfolio that Kevin Durant has built. He has his own company with the boardroom. He's now an investor in PSG. If you remember, there was conversations about him potentially being one of the minority owners of the team here when Josh Harris bought it. So he's done really well for himself outside of the world of the NBA.
Do we know what he put in to become an equity holder, a shareholder in PSG?
I do not know for sure. I was trying to look to find the number. I would imagine it's over $10 million. Because just if you think soccer, these things are incredible.
I don't know what PSG is worth. I know a lot of these soccer teams are worth, you know, billions of dollars. You know, one of the reasons it's hard to be a part of the Josh Harris bid is basically, you know, the entry level price was like $50 million or $100 million, you know, on a $6 billion price tag. That's not, you know, that's not the territory in which Kevin Durant plays, even though he's made a lot of money. That kind of investment for people who are worth hundreds of millions of dollars up to, you know, a billion plus. I'm curious as to whether or not that was something where he just is, I don't know, part of the board of directors or part of a board of advisors, or if he actually invested or was part of a group that invested into PSG.
So they already had a group investment that I believe he is joining. They are worth right now, this according to Forbes, in December of 2023, so a couple months ago, they were worth $4.3
billion. $4.3 billion was the worth. And so what stake were they selling? Do you know?
I do not know, but this is from the boardroom. It says that Kevin Durant has invested in PSG through his Boardroom Sports Holdings LLC via Arctos Partners, the strategic minority investor in the club. So he's joining as a part of that. It says further details announced shortly. This was tweeted yesterday. So maybe the next couple of days we get an idea as to how much he invested.
Here it is. I have it. Arctos Partners, who you just mentioned, 12.5% stake at a $4.3 billion valuation. So you're talking, you know, about $480 to $500 million in an investment that Kevin Durant's a part of. Yeah. So, okay. By the way, you know, even if it's a small part, you certainly create the press release out of Kevin Durant becoming, you know, an LP, a limited partner in that. Let's see what he does to sort of promote PSG in America. I don't know what kind of following they have here. Have no idea.
I think the soccer community definitely knows about them, but eventually they need to. Kevin Durant, I'm sure, I don't think he's there yet, but I'm sure he will eventually in the next year or two join the billionaire club in the NBA. There's not a lot of them, but I think he is on track to become the next one of those.
He's already a minority investor. Did you say this already? Did you give the teams? He's already a minority investor in the MLS clubs in Philadelphia. And the NWSL? I don't know what that is.
That's the women's soccer team.
Oh, the women's soccer team. Yeah. I'm sorry, in New York. And he holds a stake in a major pickleball club, the Brooklyn Aces. So good for him. Man, you know, when you are high-profile celebrity with lots of money, you get a lot of these opportunities that come your way. And the interesting thing about it is that, you know, the amount that you have to put in is not as important to the actual group as the notoriety they get for having Kevin Durant be an investor and be a part owner in the group. He's done a lot, you know, from a philanthropy standpoint, hasn't he? I think Durant has. I want to look into that more because I think he's done a lot for even, you know, this area, PG County, D.C.
Yeah, he definitely has. I think he helps with one of the AAU teams around here.
He had his name on one of the AAU teams in town. Yeah, it was the Durant AAU team. I'm blanking on the name of the team.
There's a lot of non-sports companies that he's invested to as well. He also is a part of Overtime, the basketball league. He's a part of that, but there's a lot of non-sports stuff that he does too.
Okay. All right. What else?
Oh, well, speaking of Kevin Durant, Topps is taking a one-of-one trading card. So for those that collect cards, it's autographed by LeBron, Steph, and Durant. This is post-gold medal. And they're sending it to a random customer. So what they're doing is they're releasing this card of LeBron, Steph, and KD, and you have the opportunity to buy it. The window opened at 6:20 on Saturday, 6:20 p.m. Eastern time, and it closes on 6:20 p.m. Eastern time today. So it's about a four-day window to buy this card. But one of the cards is going to be a one-of-one that is signed by all three of those players.
It's like a Willy Wonka golden ticket.
It's effectively a golden ticket situation.
What would it be worth?
Oh God, I don't know what the trading card market is like, but I gotta think at least close.
How many of these will they sell? Because you're hoping to get that one that's autographed by all three.
I bet a lot.
I bet a ton. I'm just curious as to what that card would be worth if you owned it. I mean, look, this Olympic win by the U.S., I mean, I'm not a historian when it comes to Olympic basketball. I mean, I know enough about it. I think the most infamous game ever played was the 72 Munich loss to the Soviet Union, to Russia, when they were absolutely robbed of a gold medal and they wouldn't even accept the silver medal. But this may be the most memorable gold medal game and gold medal run. And, you know, certainly in terms of the performance by Steph Curry in the final, one of the most memorable games. So, yeah, I have no interest in the whole card thing, but I have interest in what they end up being worth. What else do you have?
All right, final thing for you here. This is hilarious. Will Levis and Hellman's Mayonnaise are teaming up to release a new perfume. It's the Will Levis Parfum.
Will Levis, the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans you're talking about?
Yes, who famously loves mayonnaise. He puts it in his coffee. He is everything mayonnaise. He has a bunch of weird food things. He eats bananas with a peel on. Maybe there's nutrients in there. I don't know how that works. But he's releasing...
Puts mayonnaise in his coffee?
He does.
Okay.
But he's partnering up with Hellman's Mayonnaise to release a perfume, Parfum de Mayonnaise. It released today, and according to a source that I was in contact with, they've already sold out. It's like $8, because that's the number he wears.
It's a perfume that smells like, or cologne that smells like mayonnaise?
Well, so it doesn't smell like mayonnaise. The guy that I was talking to that was given a bottle of this perfume or cologne, whichever you want to refer to, it's basically the same thing. He said it does not smell like mayonnaise. It smells like just like a regular cologne. But it's the press release, or the press and Will Levis teaming up with mayonnaise that's garnering the attention to then lead you to the cologne.
And it's being done with Hellman's.
It's being done with Hellman's. They released a, you know, because if you look at like cologne commercials, you know the vibe in cologne commercials. They don't make any sense. They released one of those. It's all over social media. I tweeted it out.
Hellman's, and I knew this from all of my years in kind of the business that dealt with supermarket chains and consumer goods companies for many years. Hellman's is the brand here on the East Coast, but the same mayonnaise, which I think Unilever owns Hellman's, it might be Kraft. No, it's not Kraft, because Kraft has the other mayonnaise.
Kraft has Duke's, right?
But In out west, Hellman's mayonnaise is called Best Foods mayonnaise. That's a little fun fact to know and tell. I don't think there's any difference. I think it's the exact same product. It's just branded differently for some reason, and I can't tell you what the reasons are. I don't think I can. Because there is the Kraft, you know, Miracle Whip, which tastes totally different than Hellman's. I'm not a big mayonnaise guy other than in things like egg salad, chicken salad, tuna salad. I think that's pretty much the extent. No, I'll put a little bit of mayonnaise on a turkey sandwich. Definitely. I like mayonnaise.
I'm not a mayonnaise fan at all. It has to be hidden for me to enjoy it.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you eat egg salad? Do you eat egg salad?
No.
Or tuna salad?
Nope.
Really?
And I'll do a chicken salad if it's like heavily vinegar based, but with mayonnaise, nah, I'm good. I'll do aiolis on like certain sandwiches, but again, it has to be like hidden. I'm weird like that.
You're strange, that's for sure. Dan Quinn spoke today. Cliff Kingsbury spoke on a podcast. You're going to hear some of that coming up next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.